So I started out in like the professional world, I guess I would call it, as a specialized welder. So I got my GED, went to Greenville Tech, got a specialized welding degree. I kind of ran into a couple rough patches, went away for a little while. By the way, I don't mean prison. I just went down to rehab for a little while in Florida. Starting out, not having really any true leadership experience. So you start out with the typical, like, I can't get my staff to show up on time, or they're showing up and the customer's calling saying, hey, they smelled like weed or whatever the case may be. We had a guy get drunk on a job. We've had a truck flip. I think most businesses fail because people get in those tough moments and they just quit, right? And all the successful people, they've been through those tough moments. So just if you're in bad luck right now or you're just down or something's just off, just keep pushing, right?
Well, welcome to this week's episode of No Suits Allowed. My name is Connor Rodich. I'm the host of the show, and today I've got a special guest that has a wealth of knowledge that has grown tremendously in his business, and I'm sure that's related into his personal life over the last several years, and I would love to be able to get to know his story. We know each other on a somewhat informal basis. We don't know each other super well, but we know each other enough because we're in the same city working alongside each other, and have a lot of respect for this individual, and I'm really excited to be able to kind of get into his story and get into what is the conversation of No Suits Allowed, which is the raw and unfiltered voices of entrepreneurs and business leaders. If you haven't already, like and subscribe the content. We'd love to be able to have you share this episode and this this story with someone else that could use it and really, you know, inspire them to be able to level up and take their game to the next level, and also be able to know that there's shared common ground and that being an entrepreneur or being a business leader is not always a highlight reel. It has a lot of ups and downs. And so I'm excited to be able to have Chris Sweet on the episode today. So how are we doing, Mr. Sweet?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. A little introduction.
I was going to say, I'll ask you that real quick, but like Mr. Sweet first. Let's just start.
Yeah. Okay.
How many people say that? Like
Mr.
on a regular,
Sweet?
Mr. Sweet.
Not too many. But they do say, wow, what a cool name. You know, is that your real last name? No, it's fake.
You know? So you don't get anybody that's like,
sometimes
they
yeah,
like
yeah.
carry candy in yeah. the pocket and like joke around with you.
It's more like, dude, where's my car?
Okay.
You know how they got the tattoos? One said dude, one said sweet.
Yeah. I do know what you're talking about. Okay. I know what you're talking about. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, share us a little bit about your story. Sorry, I would cut you off there, but yeah, share us a little bit about your story and what where are you from and all the things. Just like backfill us in on everything from the day you were here on Earth, and we'll go from there. How about
I don't know if we have enough time for that.
Let's see.
I'm Chris, owner of Swamp Rabbit Moving. I got a wife, three beautiful girls, believer in God. I started Swamp Rabbit Moving October 2020. Had no idea what I was getting myself into. No previous business experience, not even a high school diploma. It was just me and a truck, and we kind of just took off and grew from there. You know, we went from me and a truck to now in the Greenville location, we operate 21 trucks, and we have 40,000 square foot where we do storage. And like you said, you know, a lot of these entrepreneurs, I mean, including myself, I'm guilty of this too, is we get on Facebook and we share these highlight reels, but we don't share what really goes on the back end. Like, yes, there's a lot of great moments. There's also a lot of hustle and a lot of grind and a lot of low moments that you have to push through to get to those high moments, right? Business is like an ebbs and flow, you know, up and then down. And when the down, you get all the dick kicks in the world. You just have to take them and keep going.
Yeah. And you can get down on yourself really quickly.
100%. Yeah.
So. Well, cool. You pretty much hit on all the high points. I mean, you've been in Greenville, South Carolina, though, all your life?
My whole life, yeah. Born and raised. Kind of went to every school in the upstate area, all the way from Wren to Burns, if that kind of gives you reference points. But, yeah, been here all my life.
Awesome. Well, in the No Suits fashion, I want you to know that we like to have fun. So if you want to, you know, you don't have a hat to put on backwards, but last time I put my hat on backwards.
There you go.
You know, I made it a big deal, or at least.
Very rarely will you catch me in a suit.
That's important. We don't want you to be all stuffy and in a suit. Yeah. We want the No Suits Allowed substance here. So, but let's have fun with it and make it entertaining if you choose to do so. And, you know, I just want to make sure you know you can get loose and have fun on the show. So let's talk first off, though, about. Yeah, I know you said like no high school diploma, no formal mentorship or education on how to do business. So what piqued your interest into getting into being an entrepreneur and starting this business? And what did you do? What did you do a little bit prior to that? So kind of like give us the lead up to what you did leading up to this company with Swamp Rabbit Moving.
For sure. So I started out in like the professional world, I guess I would call it, as a specialized welder. So I got my GED, went to Greenville Tech, got a specialized welding degree. Kind of ran into a couple rough patches, went away for a little while. By the way, I don't mean prison. I just went down to rehab for a little while in Florida. When I got back, I was in a meeting. I met this guy named Kyle Nowicki, and he was working at this company called Tiger Moving. And he was like, man, you should come check it out. It's pretty good money. You make tips. You get to hang out with the bros all day. Yep. It's a good, clean community. Went and worked there for 4.5 years and then finally decided, hey, I could do this on my own. And
so you did do that.
I did.
You were in the business for 4 years.
I was as a mover, yep.
That's great.
Yep.
And then what ultimately drove you to doing your own thing when you say that? I mean, just always wanted to own your own business? Was that always your tendency, or did you kind of find yourself to be in that place?
Yeah, so growing up, like the only stable people in my life for the most part were my grandparents. And my grandpa had always owned a truck lot, so he sold like box trucks, landscape bodies. He would buy trucks, take the box off, put a landscape body on it or a dump box on it or whatever, and that's what he did for 33 years. He just sold his company maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
So, like, looking up to him as my role model was like, hey, man, I want to do what he does. Like, seems like he has a good life. He was always taking care of the family. Like, when somebody was down financially, he was able to step in and help him out, and then I just always kind of looked up to that.
That's good. That's good. Well, as far as your, I guess, the progression of the business and how it's gone. So over the last, and you said 2020, I've seen it, and I have, you know, not, as I mentioned at the start, like, we know each other, like, in terms of being in proximity and, like, living in Greenville, but, like, and we've ran into each other. I was just thinking about that just now. I was like, I ran into you, I remember at that, that 4th of July deal over at Hartness.
I think it was.
And it was, like, so random, but, you know, we have a, an acquaintance level relationship, right? I mean, we definitely don't know each other super well, but from the outside looking in, I could see your growth and how it's really, it's seemed to have, you know, really snowballed and really getting to where it's 100%. To a point where you're, I mean, opening in different places and you have all these different things going on. So kind of just give us the roadmap, I guess, of what it has looked like since the 2020 start. And obviously we'll get into some of the things of more of the hustle and the grind and the things to get it to there, but just kind of give us an overall landscape first of like the company's growth pattern or how it's gone over the last few years. And
you want me talking like revenue form?
Yeah, you can even talk in revenue form, just like how. Okay. I was going to say, even just if you want, you can talk revenue and top line for sure. That would be helpful, but just kind of like growing the team and what it looked like and kind of what the business looked like.
You know? Yeah. So starting out the first year, we came out hot. It was during that COVID time, interest rates were low, everybody was moving.
That's right, I didn't think about
that. So there was more supply, there was more demand than there was supply, right? So like that first year in business, we did $1.7 million. And like I said, with no prior business knowledge, and it was kind of just me that whole first year. It was like changing the tires on a car going 100 miles an hour. Yeah. It was like, what the hell is going on? Finally, towards the end of the first year, I made my first like actual back-end office hire. As an operations manager, I'm not an operations guy. I'm more of a visionary, and I kind of realized that early on. Like, I was good at sales. I was good at, like, painting a picture of growth and kind of taking risk. Like, that was me. Made that first operational hire, and it was a real big game changer. You know, after that, I started just kind of getting really good at delegating, maybe not to the right people at the right time, but, you know, it was a process and the step that I needed to take to know that delegation was key. Second year in business, we did $3.2 million. Third year in business, we did $4.1 million. Fourth year, we did $5.2 million. And then last year, we did $6.5 million. And this year, we're really treading towards breaking that eight-figure mark.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah,
that's right. That's awesome. What do you think are some of the defining moments in that journey in terms of just like the right people to be hired, or was it more of there being a just like, hey, we just kind of snowballed it organically? Like, was there anything that really sticks out to you during that process of some of the key moments?
Up until like towards the end of last year, most of our growth came from just word of mouth. Like, I would network my tail off. I feel like everybody in Greenville knows me are mostly everybody in the business world of Greenville.
You have a
knows
nice name.
Me.
You got the Swamp Rabbit Trail and the Swamp
and
Rabbit.
And the Chris Sweet.
Yeah, Chris Sweet.
Mr. Sweet.
Yeah, you got all, you got all these things going for you. Brandon, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I just spent a lot of time networking. Here recently, we got really good at digital marketing. So, like, you know, we're crushing the Google ads and all that stuff, SEO, SERP, all that. And we've gotten really good at AI automation now. Like, everybody talks about AI. I'm like, oh, I'm so good at AI. And they're just utilizing ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Like, that's very basic, you know. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations. You know, we're implementing AI in a way like, you know, how do we increase speed to lead time? You know, so in our form fill, we're tagging in AI to that. So as soon as somebody fills out a form on our website, it actually calls our sales rep and says, hey, press one to connect to this lead. And they press one. And then now that AI is calling out to that customer. And we're on the phone with that customer 30 seconds after they've submitted that lead.
That's awesome.
Or, you know, after hours. So, like, we only man our office hours 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Yeah. So anytime in between that, we're using an AI voice agent that's automatically taking, like, the generic information we need to submit a lead into our CRM, and they're putting it in there, and that's helping us capitalize on more Google ads, because if we're showing our hours extended,
yeah, sure,
when people are closed,
excuse me, I'm having a struggled time over here. So
it's all right.
I'm at some point.
Go ahead and get it out. Get it out.
You know, sorry. Go ahead.
It's
sorry if I'm making all these noises. That's what it's
now
for.
You got me coughing.
I just need to clear my throat. It's like I can feel the frog in my throat. You know what I mean? But anyway.
Absolutely. So we're able to capitalize with extended hours with an AI voice agent. You know, we're doing all kinds of cool stuff with AI. I think the really good key was, another good key was getting mentorship early on, right? Yeah. Like, since I didn't have that business background or that back-end office knowledge, from the very beginning, I kind of ran through mentors, you know, and I would get a mentor. As soon as I leveled up from him, I got what I needed. No offense to them. They were all great and exactly what I needed at that time. I would just level up to the next thing. So always be willing to ask questions, find people I look up to, learn from them, and then grow.
Who were your, I mean, were they mentors in space or spiritual mentors, business mentors?
Yeah,
I mean, what were
great question. The only one that I actually had technically in the space, well, I had two, and one was paid, one was not. What was when I first started, this guy that used, all he did was sales for College Hunks. But he had that knowledge that I needed. As soon as I started out, that's what I started. I started with him. I think he was like $300 a month or something. And then I had a buddy I looked up to that let me come out and check out his facility in Chicago. And he was running maybe 120 trucks at the time out of one location.
Wow.
Went up and toured with him. Kind of got under his wing and just started asking questions. But all the other mentors after that, you know, they weren't really moving related. It was more so either in the like personal development, like who do I need to be to lead a big company, or somebody in a different space that, you know, you can cross-reference. Business is, for the most part, business is business, right?
Yeah, sure.
There are some key differentiators, but 9 times out of 10, you know, mostly all information is relatable.
Yeah. That does make sense. Look at you now doing the same thing.
You spread the love.
I spread the pollen love.
Yeah.
We got yellow jackets coming in.
My truck was completely yellow. It's gray normally, but
Yellow.
It's yellow, yeah.
It's yellow now.
It's yellow.
Well, okay. So, yeah, we're filming this in the unusual warmth of March, and it's like springing out.
Heavy.
It's coming out now. So, okay. So let's talk about some of the things that were pivotal points in terms of like some of those low points, some of those things that you experienced, and just kind of give us the relatable things, because there's obviously a lot of success that you're experiencing now, but there's a lot of growth in the process. And so, yeah, just talk a little about to the viewers, the things that you learned in the process, and also maybe some of those moments where things were like really low, and give us some stories if you have.
I got lots of stories. You know, starting out, not having really any true leadership experience, you know, you start out with the typical, like, I can't get my staff to show up on time, or they're showing up and the customer's calling saying, hey, they smelled like weed, or whatever the case may be. You know, we had a guy get drunk on a job. We've had a truck flip. You know, and all that, it really...
I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah.
There's an issue, like you guys had a... Yeah.
We flipped a truck 2 minutes away from the unload destination in Hendersonville.
Yeah. I think you posted about that.
I'm sure I did.
Something of that nature. I think I saw something posted on that.
But and we all know in like the business world, you know, you want to save your commercial insurance for like worst case scenario, right?
Pro tip.
Pro tip. You know, if you can pay it out of pocket.
Pay it.
I'd pay it out of pocket. And we did. We paid out of pocket for that. You know, I think that whole ordeal probably cost me a little north of $100,000.
Yeah.
But, I really had to take a step back and I was like, why are these guys not showing up? Why are they not? And don't get me wrong. I had a lot of great guys at the time, but like certain few is like, how are they slipping through the cracks? And, you know, am I setting the standard appropriately? And it all comes back to me as a leader. It's like, you know, I'm not setting any accountable action. I'm treating them like buddies, you know, and yeah, we can have a cordial relationship and I can care for them deeply, but at the same time, there are expectations and there are certain standards that we need to meet. And that's when I started flipping the script of like, we're not family, we're a high performing team, right? Like, you're not going to go to the Super Bowl and you're just throwing interception after interception after interception and they're going to let you play on the field, right? You're getting yanked.
Yeah.
So they all still have that team camaraderie, right? Like they're all still like
you can have that culture. They have the culture, but not it being a participation trophy.
Like you're not going to fire your mom. We're not family.
Yeah.
Like you know, we're not family. We're a high performing team. I care for you, but there's expectations that need to be met on the field, and some stuff like that. And then also as you grow, you know, you start coming into I can't really talk about it a little bit too much. You start coming into like legal issues, right? Sure. Like even if it's not warranted, like, you know, you still have to fight that and prove that. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could go a little bit more into that, but I really can't. But there's just always, you know, my job has went from working 16 hours a day to how do I manage my stress? You know, it's kind of, I'm hands off. I'm only worrying on like the high level stuff or like, you know, the really big mistakes that we need to come in and clean up. Sure. So it's just a transition. And then, you know, I had a really big low when I was kind of able, maybe a year ago, able to kind of like step back and not work so much. It's like, now I don't feel like I deserve this. You know what I mean? It's like, what am I supposed to do with my hands? Like,
I just had Walker Thompson on last week.
Yeah.
Or the week before, whenever it was. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Ken would remember. Was it the week before or the week? I don't remember. Two. Okay, great. You're not remembering just like me. Yeah. It was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Maybe. And he was you know Walker, I think.
Yeah, I know Walker.
Like done real well for himself.
And he lives in Montana now doesn't he?
He's got a home in Montana now. And that's what I was going to say is he's kind of like, he's going through that season of like, feeling the world, he's done all this stuff and been very successful. And now he's kind of into the next step of like finding something that fires him up next. And I know you're not there, but he's in that kind of that step of like feeling, you know, worthy and going into this new, you know, era of trying to find his fulfillment. You know what I mean? So I can't relate, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Fortunately and unfortunately, but I'm still very much in the grind. Like I was telling you before the show, but I'm thankful and, you know, and life's good, business is 100%. Good. So there's no, and I know eventually I'll get there, but I didn't mean to cut you off, but I did want to just cause I'm getting all these questions popping up and I'll forget them. First thing you brought up stress and like, I have a big relatable thing. The second thing you brought up was the legal stuff and I'll hit on the legal stuff here real quick. And you don't have to say anything more if you got stuff pending out or whatever, but like, the first time I ever got served a notice, I was like, you know, when you get served a notice your first time, and especially when you own the business, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm done.
Yeah.
At least that was my feeling.
It's like
feeling.
The end of the world.
Yeah. It was like the end of the world. Yeah. Like, and I remember getting that the first time. I think that was back in, I had my businesses a little bit started before, like, you know, I was just on the trend of having businesses a little earlier than you, but I've hit the reset button many a times. All that to say, I think 2019 was like the first time that happened. And I'll never forget whenever I got that letter. I was like, yeah, business is done.
Yeah. You know, Shut it down.
That was like my mindset. And I didn't really understand how that works out. And so I think, and I'm sure you share the similar feeling of it. But, you know, once you're in it and like, and you're right. And I've always heard this. Now, there are definitely some people out there like, I know you well enough to know you're doing good business, right?
Yeah,
so like, 100%. I know you're not that shady dude or taking money from people and not performing work or, you know, things that like warrant a legitimate lawsuit, right? But I have heard that many times. There's actually a guy I'm planning on interviewing at some point, but he's worth north of $300-400 million. You would never know it. He's one of those guys, right? But you know, he had a business and he sold it and all the stuff, and you know, before even going through that process of selling and due diligence and all that, he's like, dude, I lost count of how many times I got served a notice. And he's like, and if you met him, you're like, there's no way this guy did bad business. It wasn't that type of thing. And he told me, he was just like, yeah, man, what happens eventually is your target grows bigger and bigger on your back. And when there's an opportunity to make money, especially in this day and age, like it's, people are going to take the opportunity on it. And he's like, now did I need to settle up on some of that stuff because it was right for me to do so? And did I make mistakes along the way because something happens to a customer, with a customer situation or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's like, overall, he's like, the thing you have to keep in perspective is like, the larger you grow anything, the more exposure you're going to have. And he's like, that's just the nature of the business.
100%.
And being an entrepreneur. So if you're watching this and you've been serviced a notice and you think that you're going to be out of business, the main thing is, at least for me, I was like, okay, once I realized how this played out, I was like, man, there's nothing I can do about it today.
Yeah.
So I just like, let the process play out.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And so I'm sure you've taken on the same mindset with things 100%. Like that. It's like, you can't do anything about
it. Yeah, and I'm a man of faith too, right? Like whatever happens, happens. It's up to God. It's destiny.
Yeah, that's a good, and that's also something talk about stress. So let's pivot into that.
Yeah.
During stressful times, 2020, 2023 for me, and I know that this is a podcast to interview you, so I'm not gonna get into me. People have already heard my story. I kind of did a monologue episode one about that, but I implemented that like release strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like give it to God, be somebody that's like realizing ultimately I'm not in control of all of this anyway. Like there has to be a relinquishment of control, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the things that helped with my stress with some of the things I was experiencing during that era. I'd like to hear some of your stressful moments or ways you've handled that stress.
Yeah.
Like what's I'm working on being able to manage that better.
Yeah.
What are the things that you're doing and what are the things that are challenging you to kind of keep you in that cage of being like worked up or being stressed with things? Like what are the things that you're doing and what's keeping you in that position?
Well, I would say, reputation matters to me a lot. Like, Swamp Rabbit, we're profitable. That's the least of my concern. I want to make sure that we're out there providing the work that we say we're going to provide, right? Like our mission statement is to be the largest in South Carolina while maintaining the highest quality to better impact our community. So anything that jeopardizes that mission stresses me out, whether it's small, whether it's big.
Yeah.
It doesn't stress me out for long now because I've managed it.
Sure.
Like even now when we still get we very seldomly get a 1-star review because we're not ice cream and we can't make everybody happy.
Yeah. We're not ice cream. You're right.
And there are people out there, like, if you deal on the consumer basis in large volumes, you find that
there are going to be people out there. We're not going to say their names, but we know their names.
Yeah. They don't have great intentions. Right. Yeah. But the ways I deal with the stress is, number one, I pray. Number two, I work out. I've gotten into working out in the past 2 years, and it has been the best outlet for me to just kind of get in there, focus on myself, lift some heavy shit, and just let it all go. I golf a lot. I never saw myself as a golfer because I'm super impatient, and I cannot stand to like just sit around and wait and all this. But it's kind of really pushed me into that mindset of, you hit a bad shot, you have to like relax, calm down, you can't get frustrated, and just move on, like let it go, move on to the next shot. And then also, enjoying some of the spoils of my labor, right? Like being able to go on really great trips with my wife, being able to go on really great trips with my family, do fun stuff, pick up expensive hobbies like flying, like just actually starting to enjoy all this hard work I put into it. It's kind of
a good retrospective.
You know, I wake up, even on the bad days, I wake up super grateful and thankful because I just think back to where I was just a few short years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a similar story there. It's like last night I'm in the grind working until 4:30 on the stuff I was telling you about. And I literally sent out a message to my team and I was like, we're in this squeeze phase. Those phases where it's 100%. Just like you're outpacing in some ways. I mean, I've been very intentional about not growing too fast on our end, just because I don't want all of my folks to absolutely hate me.
100%.
Because I could also go sell bricks to a brick man, you know?
100%.
So I was sitting there last night, and I'm like, you know, life could be worse, because it has been worse.
100%.
Like 4:30 in the morning, and then you wake up, you know, 3 hours. We got to film this podcast. I got, you know, three to film, you know? It's like, I'm not, you have to always maintain gratefulness and thankfulness in the process, because you're right. It's like you can very easily, in the position that you're in, especially with the up and up and up and seeing things snowball the way you have. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's tons of low moments, but like to get in a point of either complacency or negativity or any of those things, whenever it's like, I mean, dude, you got to continue to be thankful, because it can all be gone like that.
100%.
And like you said, you're reminding of the place that you've been before. You
absolutely.
Know? We're not that different there. I mean, 22, 23 for me was a very, very, very difficult time. I'm sure yours was not necessarily in that era, but like, I remember the, like, man, it's like just to keep payroll paid or just to do this. I mean, like, those times are real stressful, and, you know, and then you're, you know, bouncing it all. So got to remember
absolutely.
That. So talk to me a little bit about, the next steps with what you're doing. And I know you said, you kind of alluded to some of that already. And I guess, what are some of the personal goals, professional goals that you have?
Mm-hmm.
And then, is there anything that you feel like is key to accomplishing those things for you?
Yeah. So some personal goals.
You have been in the gym, and that's why I was like sitting there. I was like, I don't remember him having like.
No, yeah, no. These are new. These are new. You know,
that was the best part right there. We're gonna use that for the short. These are new.
Yeah, these are new.
No, I remember
scrawny.
Yeah,
maybe 140 pounds.
Is that
sucking
what
wet.
It was?
Yeah, yeah.
What it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a little heavier than that. Where did I get it?
Well, I was a victim back then. You know. I'm trying to get out of that victim life.
Well, whatever you're doing, you look great. You look a hell of a lot better than me, that's for sure. So, I mean, I just want to get in the gym and, like, take over that part of?
Yeah, when it didn't really start out in the phase of, like, I wanted to gain weight, it was just kind of like I wanted to blow off some stuff. I was doing more, like, HIIT stuff, and then I got into, like, actually – lifting heavy for me at that time, and I just kind of enjoyed it. I think right now I'm just like in that, I don't want to say it, but kind of like that ego phase, like how far can I push it? And then I'll dial back a little bit and get more into like a long term.
Well, when I'm in town, I'd like to get lifestyle. Catch a workout with you, because God knows I need one.
Yeah, you let me know.
No, I just remember that I didn't mean to cut you off, but like when I was out there, I was like, you know, give me a dap me up, and I grabbed that arm, and I'm like, I don't remember Mr. Sweet being like, you've gotten some, these are new. I love it. Back to the question. The things that you're on to next, and personally, professionally, and the things keeping you in the way. Sorry.
Yeah, personally, I just want to continue to guide my kids in the path of Jesus and grow that relationship with them and help be a guiding path for that. Set good examples, you know, keep pushing the limits in the gym. You know, I'm going to do my first powerlift competition in October. I have no expectations. It's just kind of to go and to do it. Get a little bit better at golfing would be nice, you know.
Where are you scoring now? Where are you at?
I'm in like the high 80s.
That's good.
High 80s, that's you know. I've only been golfing a little over a year.
Oh, that's really good.
But I play a lot. I mean, I'm 2 or 3 times a week. Yeah.
So.
I've probably been golfing enough to be like 2 or 3 years worth of golf.
Finding out that you and I are not that different. So I perceive an addictive personality. Is that what we have going on here?
100%.
Yeah, okay.
100%.
So I was going to say.
Like pickleball was my thing before golf.
Oh, dude, love pickleball. Love
now
pickleball.
It's golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love both.
Yeah.
The problem is when you are starting to make some money, then you, like back in the day, is going to come off. I mean, I hope people that are watching this don't perceive me any sort of way, but when I say this, but used to, when you're broke, it's easy to be like resourceful and just be like, all right, I'm going to go get a paddle at the thrift store, or I'm going to go, you know.
Pickleball's free.
Pickleball's free. Like you can literally just roll up to a pickleball court and like there's probably some paddles laying around.
100%.
You know what I mean? But, you know, you can't do that whenever you start getting a little bit of money, even just a little bit.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to buy the $300 paddle.
100%.
This, you know, and the shoes.
I need the accessories, you know,
yeah,
I need everything.
Armbands, headbands, sweatbands, you know, goo, whatever, all the things, you know. And so I did that, and like the gentleman I'm gonna have a podcast on next, he's a big pickleballer, he's also my mentor, which is kind of funny, but he's hilarious because I'm like, he's like, bro, you bought all the stuff, like you're like a pickleballer. I'm like, yep, I'm a pickleballer now, you know what I mean? So I went all in, yeah. And I did the same thing with golf, but no, that's crazy about golf, because I was also the guy, I got addicted to it, and it was in 20, I think it was like 2016 at the time, maybe. I was doing pretty well for myself at that time. That was when life was much simpler, and I was working in corporate America, making good money. And I had a country club membership, dude.
Yeah.
I went out to that country club 4 times a week, just pounding golf
balls. Oh, yeah.
And so I did the same thing. I got really good in a year, and then I just got addicted. And so it's funny that you're, like, explaining the same. You're like, yeah, now I'm just, like, playing 4 times a week. Where do you play at?
I usually play a lot of Greer, but I mean, I play all over. I got access to the Cliff, Stormblade, all that stuff. But
you have Greer's, access there, man?
I do.
I need to rub shoulders with you.
Anytime you want to come, you let me know.
Are you serious?
100%.
I would love that. I'd love to do that. Yeah, no, so it's cool that you're doing that. Yeah, the golf thing, that's good. That's high 80s. That's real solid for you as you just start. So what are you trying to do there? What are you trying to get to? What's the
score? If I get down to single-digit handicap this year, I'll be happy.
You'd be surprised to hear that I am a single-digit handicap, but I have not shot in the single digits in quite some time.
Well, it only takes one out of, 30 rounds or whatever, how they rank it?
My problem was that I hit a – we're getting way off script here, and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, there's no suits allowed.
That's why I want to have fun with it.
Yeah.
But, no, I was a plus handicap.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Snap.
And so the problem is that once you're a plus handicap, you get hard caps put on your gen score.
100%, yeah.
And so I'm not – I'm like – like, it's barely pushing me up, like, every year.
Yep.
I think I'm, like, a 6 right now.
And okay.
I haven't scored a 70, you know, whatever in God knows how long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I'm out there recreational about it these days. But, no, dude, that's good for being, I was going to say, shooting high 80s and getting down into the single digits after just a year. That's super solid. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So,
I told one of my buddies I was going to move in my golf coach with me. He's going to come live with me. We just hang out in the backyard all day.
It's that serious.
You know, yeah. But it doesn't go well with powerlifting either. Like, you know,
you can't.
Crushing heavy deadlifts, and I'm going to try and shoot golf.
Yeah. And all that, and then
I'm bowed in.
Yeah, you're trying to cool. And then on the professional side, what are some of your goals, and what are you trying to what are you trying to accomplish? And then what are some of the steps that you feel like you need to take to do that?
So a year into Swamp Rabbit, I started in another location in Charleston. It failed miserably. And when I say it failed, it didn't fail on a revenue standpoint. It just failed operationally. We weren't ready. We didn't have the processes in place.
Yeah.
I kind of thought I had the Midas touch, to be honest, and I just really didn't. So we shut that down pretty quickly. But this year, we're actually starting back that journey. We went through the FDD process. We were going to franchise. Got my FDD. I was like, I don't want to franchise, actually. Too much behind that situation that you really don't have control over your brand reputation. You know, they're not your employees, so you can't just like say, hey, you're fired because you're not running this branch appropriately. Too many legality issues that could come up. You know, if you say, hey, I'm going to do in-person training for 30 hours and we'll do virtual training for 60 hours and you miss an hour and they start failing, well, guess what? It's your fault because you missed that 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then also you're giving up all that net profit, right? Like if I feel like I could run a satellite location and get 30% net profit versus 7% royalty. It just didn't make sense. So we're exploring that journey again. So we got Columbia launching April 1st, actually March 30th, because we're off to a hot start.
Got enough meat on the bone to work on right now. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So we opened that. Actually we started doing marketing on it about 2 months ago. So we kind of played into it, so we come in a little
building it to where you're hotter. That's good.
And then Charleston, September, and then next year we'll do 2 more locations, either between Fort Mill, Conway, Hilton Head, Bluffton area, or Buford area, I'm sorry. But we're just looking to really take over the state. And my whole goal up until a few months ago was probably build it up to sell to PE, but the more I learn, the more I just probably would want to hold on to it, right?
Yeah.
And moving doesn't have a really high multiple on EBITDA to begin with. You know, let's say we were doing $5 million EBITDA, maybe 5X, maybe 7X, maybe, depending on what a storage looks like, depending on if we've implemented any technology since then. Yeah. And at that point, it doesn't really make sense. If I'm doing $5 million net profit,
I don't need to sell,
you know?
Well, that's the dynamic, and that's where, like, a lot of people that are in more lower middle market like that.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme, like, obviously you're a big moving company. When I say lower middle market, that's a saying that comparison.
Absolutely,
to
you don't have to explain that to me. Right? Yeah, 100%.
Most people think they're like, oh, that's a big company, but like in the grand scheme, it's to a large corporation.
100%.
I mean, obviously, it's a great company, but it's on the smaller end. But yeah, those low middle market companies or lower middle market companies, that's the situation that we run into a lot with the stuff that I do is. Guys are wanting to go that direction. They get things organized. They put their financials together. They get to where things are more, you know, there's less friction in their business in terms of what they're able to do. Nets go up 2, 3, 4 times what they were initially. And then now they're like, well, I don't know if I want to sell.
100%. Because,
you know, I mean, you got to pay the tax man, but you're making a good living. And
there's some stuff you can do there too.
And there are things you can do there. So, but no, that should be the feeling. Or if you're like, I have to offload this to PE, then your business is not.
There's something wrong with your business. But the internet makes it so sexy. And like everybody and their mom selling their company now. And that's what all the cool kids do, you know? Yeah. But like you said, if you get to that point where you're, you know, $5 million net profit, that's a pretty good life right there. Especially if you're investing in appropriately and you're doing the right things to diversify. Mm-hmm. I mean, by that point, and then if you're hands off too, like, why would you sell? You know, it just doesn't make much sense.
People and people having some profit share opportunities and investing in those people to grow with you. Yeah. We got anything else that's sorry, it's been a chronic throat clearing episode here, but
it's all right,
hope
man.
That everybody enjoyed that.
Absolutely.
Ken, did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy my throat clearing?
Ken must have took Zyrtec last night because he has no allergies.
He has been locked in.
Yeah.
And I'm bloodshot eyed and barely holding on. Well, it's been good to catch up.
Absolutely.
Anything left to leave with the audience about, you know, I guess maybe the final message of hope or encouragement or anything that you'd like to just leave with them?
You know, I think most businesses fail because people get in those tough moments and they just quit, right? And all the successful people, they've been through those tough moments. So just if you're in bad luck right now or you're just down or something's just off, just keep pushing, right? Keep looking for solutions. Don't give up and just keep the good fight up, you know?
I love it. Thanks, sir.
Appreciate
it. You've been a great interviewee. That'll be a wrap. So I will close us out with I gotta end it though. So
okay. I was out of here, man. Yeah, I was ready to run.
Like, so you probably are more of the Theo Von. You like come in, you're like, all right, yeah, we're gonna do the thing, and then we out.
Yeah, time to go.
No, I have to do a formal closeout.
Let's do it.
I'm a nobody podcast.
Let's
still,
do it,
so
man.
I need to make sure. So, thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the episode here that we talked about here with Chris and his story. And so, if you haven't already, again, like and subscribe the content, share it out, share it to somebody that could really use this message and word of encouragement, and just to hear a story that. Of somebody that's really onto something and onto something special that'll continue to grow and have its ups and downs, but ultimately be able to be a long-term success because of the mindset behind this entrepreneur. So appreciate you guys joining us this week, and we will see you in the next week's episode. And now we can do it. Now we can. How do you do it? You do the like that.
Yeah. Chop.
There you go. Chop.
I don't know what they say.
All right. Cool.